That was another thing. I was a pioneer of spa dentistry years ago and was featured in the Wall Street Journal and USA Today, and was kind of an interesting concept. We have three full-time massage therapists. So when you come in and you're getting your work done, you can actually get complimentary massages. So that, you know, and that's very unique. So it was just our vision to not only deliver the most incredible, beautiful aesthetic dentistry, but in a pleasant and pampering environment.
You are listening to Fingerprints on Success, the podcast dedicated to highlighting unique imprints left by business leaders, mentors, and successful entrepreneurs. In this show, we'll be bringing on a diverse range of serial entrepreneurs, professionals, leaders, and coaches to uncover the secrets behind achieving success both professionally and personally. Guiding you on this podcast is none other than Bill Barrett, an award-winning corporate and business law attorney and CEO of the law firm Mandelbaum Barrett PC, where he and his team have provided a full array of legal services to both businesses and individuals throughout the country. Get ready and let's get to the show.
Hey everyone, it's Bill Barrett, and today's guest is Dr. Deborah Gray King, whose groundbreaking work has graced the screens of ABC's Extreme Makeover, The Doctors, Entertainment Tonight, as well as The Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Fox and Friends, and CNN. Dr. Deborah Gray King is the founder of the Atlanta Center for Cosmetic Dentistry, where smiles are crafted with precision and luxury reigns supreme. Her practice is often compared to the Ritz-Carlton of dentistry, where every patient is treated like royalty. It's also one of the largest, most successful single-location dental practices in America. With over three decades of experience and a reputation that precedes her, Dr. King is not just a dentist, but she's been referred to as a magician of smiles. Dr. King's influence extends far beyond her practice walls. As a fellow in the American Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry, she's among an elite group of global experts setting the standard for excellence in her field. In fact, she's one of less than 100 dentists worldwide to achieve this distinction. So let's get ready and unravel the fingerprints on success of Dr. Deborah King. Dr. Deborah King, how are you today? And welcome to Fingerprints on Success.
Thank you. I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure to have you on. I know that our listeners are going to be very excited to hear your story and your journey. For starters, though, for those who don't know a lot about you, tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey, why and how you got into dentistry, and how, frankly, did the Atlanta Center for Cosmetic Dentistry come about, which, of course, is one of the most prestigious, largest, and respected specialty dental practices in the country. But tell us a little bit about that journey and how you got there.
Well, it's kind of interesting. When I was in high school, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And somewhere I just pulled out of the air, I was either going to be an accountant or a dental hygienist. And so I took accounting my senior year and hated it. So by default, I was going to go into dental hygiene. And then when I was in college, I was at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. One of my classmates was going to be a dentist, and he told me about a program where you could become a dentist in a total of 7 years. So it's three undergrad and then the four of dental school. And so I was like, okay, I think I'm going to go for that instead. So it kind of really started as a fluke.
Really, on accident. So you had no limiting belief. It was really just that, you know, you hadn't really thought about it. And then there it was.
Right, exactly. After dental, I really didn't have any connections on where I wanted to go, but I knew I wanted to go to a big city. So I almost went to Nashville, and then instead I ended up in Atlanta, and I've been there ever since. But when I first got out of dental school, I worked with another dentist and got an incredible postgraduate education from him. We're still friends to this day. And I tell you, Bill, I was such a Tennessee hillbilly. I have videos us practicing, like giving treatment presentations, and I had this thick Tennessee accent, and I mean it, and I had braces on my teeth, like I looked like the dental assistant. So sometimes at Christmas parties, I'll get this video out to show my team, like, okay, look where we are now, and this is where it came from.
That's a great story. Yeah. So I mean, you got your start. At what point did you decide to go on your own? And I think I should share with the audience, I've been to and seen your facility, and the average person can't really, really understand it. They should probably look at your website, because this is not a dental office. This is a facility, and a very impressive facility. How did that come about? What was the vision there to build what you built there, which is so unique?
Well, thank you, Bill. Like where we are now, it was a journey. The building that I practice in, it's 8,400 square feet. We built it from scratch. It looks like a Southern mansion. So it's yellow brick, the big Greek columns. And so it does have a presence. And we've been in this building for 20 years. Now, there was a whole journey from dental school to getting to the point of growing out of our previous office and then being ready for this office. But one of my visions was to have a place where people would, number one, feel comfortable, but also know just by being in this building that we must know what we're doing.
Almost like a if you build it, they will come kind of approach. Now, to the extent you're able to share, because I think it also gives the audience a little perspective, you have been a celebrity dentist to people in sports and entertainment, and as well as to regular folks like me and others. But to the extent you can share, tell us a little bit about maybe some of the celebrities where you're allowed to share that you've taken care of them, and how that also came about. Because, you know, you could be, there's a lot of wonderful practitioners in the country. Not all of them have been kind of a dentist to the celebrity world. And in fact, having been to your office, it's lined with row after row of the most famous people in the world, frankly. So tell us, everybody, a little bit about that, because I'm sure they'd love to hear it.
I think it just goes back to the vision of just being the best of the best. So I am an artist. And so cosmetic dentistry was just a perfect fit, because there's so many types of dentistry. And so cosmetic dentistry just really, you know, was a good fit for me. And so I had a whole journey of continuing education, learning, you know, hundreds of hours of continuing education a year. And I got to the point where I was pretty darn good at cosmetic dentistry. And then as that continues, word of mouth, and people are happy, and I got my first celebrity, and it's kind of funny, because it was Big Boy, and he would be fine with me sharing that. Big Boy of Outkast and Toni Braxton were the two first celebrities that I had. And they've been patients in our practice for over 20 years now, probably closer to 25 years. And then as you get a few celebrities, then they start referring. And then when people see the celebrities on the wall, then, you know, that's interesting also. But some of our more notable celebrities that I can speak of are like Usher and Zac Brown. And, you know, but like you said, we have probably 100 very high profile celebrities that come to our practice, including NFL players, NBA players, politicians. Like it's the whole realm. But then we also see the soccer moms.
Absolutely. And I was going to make a joke and say that a lot of the NHL hockey players, they need implants, so they go to other people. But, you know, I don't want to get in trouble with NHL players. So, you know, the reason why I wanted people to hear a little bit about your story and the journey and the type of practices is because they might say, OK, Fingerprints on Success has entrepreneurs from all different walks of life and businesses and verticals. And why are we featuring someone who is a dentist, right? Because they need to understand that you just aren't any old dentist, that you have built something spectacular. And as I said earlier, one of the largest and most successful dental practices in the United States. And I guess one of the first kind of core questions I want to ask you as we dive in now into you a little bit is, you know, when we're building businesses, one thing you already talked about, by the way, was constant and never-ending improvement. You talked about that kind of quest for continuing learning and education and honing and your skills and becoming better and better at what you do. But when you think about kind of like philosophies or mindsets, right, to be this successful, to build a company like you've built, what are some things that come to mind where when you reflect on it, you say, you know, it was that way of thinking or that mindset or that philosophy I had that really served me well and is a contributor to the success I've had?
I'm glad you mentioned the concept of Kanai. It's an Anthony Robbins philosophy. And we've been talking about Anthony Robbins principles for 25, 30 years. And so that was a big part of just constantly wanting to be better, but not just clinical dentistry. Of course, that's important too, but we wanted to have the best facility, the best team of professionals. In our vision statement, we want our team to be notably the best in the country for their position. All of our doctors are accredited with the American Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry, which is a rigorous credentialing process. And so we're the only practice in the world that has 4 accredited cosmetic dentists. And then customer service, that was another thing. I was a pioneer of spa dentistry years ago and was featured in the Wall Street Journal and USA Today and was kind of an interesting concept. We have 3 full-time massage therapists. So when you come in and you're getting your work done, you can actually get complimentary massages. So that, you know, and that's very unique. So it was just our vision to not only deliver the most incredible, beautiful aesthetic dentistry, but in a pleasant and pampering environment. So, you know, we just tried to brainstorm and incorporate things into our dental practice that virtually no other dental practice has. I don't even really know of anyone else that has 3 full-time massage therapists that massage their patients while they're getting, you know, worked on.
I think there might be small massage studios that don't have 3 full-time. So
You're right.
It's interesting because really, you know, you've defined, right, in a way, the unique client experience, your unique client experience, which applies across the board. You know, all of our listeners are either successful entrepreneurs, growing entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs. And what you're describing, in essence, is a unique client experience, right? That you figured out in a business where people have a hard time differentiating themselves, you created a completely different deliverable. And of course, the greatest form of flattery, right, is copycatting. So now people say spa-like services and everyone knows what that means. But when you did it, nobody knew that was not a thing. Let me ask you this question, which is kind of the converse, right? It's great to reflect on the things that made you who you are and that have contributed to your success. No entrepreneur has their business journey without having business mistakes or business judgments or things where they say, you know, if I could advise my entrepreneurial self today, could tell my entrepreneurial self 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, some of the things I wouldn't do now in business. Would you tell our listeners or some things that you wouldn't do today?
Yeah, there's just so many. You kind of learn from the hard knocks of trying one thing and then it didn't work and that kind of thing. But I think that my advice to young entrepreneurs would be more along the lines of trying to figure out what's something that can make you unique. You know, there's lots of accountants. What can you do that sets you apart from all the others in town? And, you know, that was one of the things that we did was set ourselves apart. And I think that's just very critical. If you want to be different, you know, you want to set yourself apart. So that would be one of the main things. Also, it's just so important to have mentors and have people that help you with your growth, because we learn a certain amount in graduate school, but you obviously don't learn enough to be the best of the best in your field. So that's another thing that I strongly recommend to young entrepreneurs, is just always continue learning and trying new things. Because when you don't continue learning, you start coasting. And some football coach, this is his quote, you coast, the only way you coast is downhill. So anyway, that was one of our philosophies too.
Enjoying the show so far? We've received fantastic feedback since we started, and we love your questions. Entrepreneurs face unique challenges, and as a corporate attorney and CEO, Bill understands that. Whether it's your first location, industry regulations, succession plans, or exit strategies for your business, the journey is rarely a smooth one. Mandelbaum Barrett PC offers listeners of this podcast a 20-minute consultation with their award-winning team. From mergers and acquisitions to litigation, they help entrepreneurs navigate new opportunities, get invaluable insights, and support to not just survive, but thrive. Click the link in the episode description or visit mblawfirm.com for details. Once again, it's mblawfirm.com. Now, back to our show.
Well, you talked about, you mentioned the word mentor, which is a big part, you know, when we came up with the title for the podcast, Fingerprints on Success was not an accidental name, because it encompasses, you know, not only the history, the journey of entrepreneurs, but also the influence that others may have had fingerprints on your success. Can you share with us maybe some mentors that you've had? It could be at any point in life, and maybe some stories of why they made a big impact on your life.
Of course, I would mention my parents. They've always been my biggest cheerleader. I was the first doctor in the family on either side, and they were always supporting me in my dreams to graduate school and that kind of thing. And then also very well-known cosmetic dentist in New York, Jeff Golub Evans. I met him through the American Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry. He noticed me very early on and gave me my first opportunity to publish an article. You know, this was in the very, very early years. And, you know, he just saw a little something in me. And the fact that he recognized and gave me that opportunity really gave me the confidence to pursue the cosmetic dentistry.
That's great. It's great. You know, whether it's a coincidence or not, I notice the more and more I do these interviews, and maybe this is a testament for parenting, but many of the most successful people I've interviewed start off with mom and dad. Isn't that interesting? You know, I haven't had people who have come on and not started off with the fact that they got great support and love and encouragement and all those things. So I know that embedded in there, there's an important probably message for everybody, but I think that that's great that you started there. So let me ask you this, as you've gone through your life and through your career, what have you tried, since you were blessed with good mentors and in particular in your profession, someone who gave you an opportunity to be on center stage, an opportunity to shine and saw something in you, what have you tried to do during your career to, and have you seen kind of those moments in other people and been able to kind of pay it forward?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we do. We open our office to young people that are interested in dentistry, even at the high school level. And then we have a lot of students that are in dental school that come in and kind of see what it's like in the real world. And so we open our office to that exposure. I've also set up scholarships for dental students, both at my alma mater, which is Tennessee, and then at the dental school in Augusta, Georgia, where actually two of my children are in dental school right now.
No, that's great. And I'm sure, you know, it's funny when you talk about opening up the office so people can see what the real world's like. You're setting the bar really high and expectations for these young people that I think it certainly that gives them something to aspire to.
Yeah, exactly. It gives them something to aspire to. And then another thing that I do is I do give lectures. So I travel around and share a lot of the struggles and the blessings and the ideas and, you know, just the whole journey of where I have started from really nothing to, you know, like when I first went out on my own, I had maybe 100 patients to my name. And to now, you know, being in an office that, you know, is an 8,400 square foot office. So with five dentists.
I'll tell you, I'm not trying to boost your ego, but I was once having a conversation with a renowned dentist on the West Coast. And for those who know, like in my corporate and business practice, I have a lot of healthcare professionals as clients, including quite a few dentists. And this gentleman was very prominent and had a very successful practice with like five locations. And, you know, confidentiality, of course, is always very important. So I would never, and I think I've told you this story, but for our listeners, it's funny. I never, you know, would ever mention somebody's name or anything. So someone was asking me about some of the most successful doctors I've represented. And I said, well, you know, I have a client in particular on the East Coast. I didn't even say like a state. I said on the East Coast with one of the most impressive cosmetic dentist practices I've ever seen in my life. And you can't even believe this operation. It is the level of it will blow your mind. And the person looked right at me and said, you're talking about Deborah King? And I said, wow, I really can't say too much about anybody. Cause so if somebody could figure you out from the other 190,000 licensed dentists of the United States. So that was just a funny story. And it kind of, you know, signifies your reputation throughout the country. But let me shift gears on you now with a different type of question. We love to talk a little bit about, you know, and it could be anything. I sometimes call it my current events question, but really just when you think about what's going on today, whether it's business, the world, or whatever, that's a topic that you think people should be and entrepreneurs should be thinking about, wondering about, planning for. What's something that's been on your mind that you think is should be on the mind of other people as well?
You know, as far as dentistry, there's so many new aspects of technology. So in dentistry, we have scanners and 3D printers. And so there's just the dentistry 5 years from now is going to be so much different than it is here, you know, and now. But it just in general, one of the hottest topics that we talk about in our office is just how to remain focused and, you know, with the roller coaster of economy and what's going on in the world and the news. And how do you, you know, stay focused with all these world events happening? And, you know, so that's one thing that I kind of see as entrepreneurs that we focus on. How do we still stay focused with all the distractions in the news?
Yeah, well, there's no shortage of that. I think part of the news has drifted towards entertainment in certain respects, you know, as opposed to journalism. So the more distracting it can be, the better ratings, I guess, it gets at this point. Oh, okay. So let me ask you this question, digging a little bit deeper. One of the things that I've come to learn is that with people that have been very successful in their business and as entrepreneurs, you know, everyone knows that dollars are sometimes a measuring stick of success. But I've come to learn that what motivates people, it is especially the most successful people, goes far beyond dollars. It's, well, I guess the popular statement is the why statement, right? Why is it that I do what I do? And what drives me? What is Dr. Deborah King's why statement? Why do you do what you do? And because it's not just about dollars at this point in your career.
Well, I just love helping people. And I mentioned that I'm an artist. And just the joy that I get being able to design someone's smile and give them confidence and beauty so that they can go out into the world and be their best self. I just get a lot of joy from that.
Well, that's great. And I'm sure that all the people that are walking around with those smiles are appreciated very much. So listen, I have one more question for you, which is kind of the forward-looking question. What's the future look like? What, when you get out of bed in the morning, what's got you excited about the day and what you're working on and what you're doing now?
Well, I still get a lot of passion going into the office and meeting patients and collaborating with my other doctors. But thinking about like what is something different I want to do over the next 5 years. I'm actually thinking about writing a book. I've got lots of stories that I could tell. And so I think that's probably number one on my list. We always joke around the office, like we should write a book because there's just so many interesting stories to tell from the almost 40 years I've been in dentistry. So I would say that's probably my top thing.
What would your theme be? What's your vision on that?
Well, my CEO, she came up with a really good title because we laugh about how we'll wake up in the middle of the night. And, you know, that's when I get a lot of my clarity answers. And she said I should name the title of the book, Middle of the Night Ideas from a Successful Entrepreneur.
So, okay. Sounds like a new podcast maybe too. I don't know.
Maybe so.
Well, before we say goodbye to each other, I just want to take an opportunity. I mean, I know that you've been involved in a lot of charitable endeavors over the years that are always giving back. Share with our audience a little bit about the Deborah Gray King Family Charitable Foundation and kind of what your mission is there and what you're up to.
Over the years, I've donated, you know, over $1 million to different charities. A lot of them are just in the community and mission trips and that kind of thing. But just recently, a few years ago, I started the Family Charitable Foundation. And I am now trying to get my family and children involved in that. So I let my children pick out charities that they're interested in to donate money. And I've funded the fund. And so now it's kind of the fun part is just actually looking to see where this can do good in the world.
Well, I think that's great. And, you know, I hope that you'll keep us posted on that journey as you continue to go forward. And, you know, I wish you continued great success. Not that you don't need it from me, but I think that, you know, everybody's rooting for you to keep doing what you do. So can't thank you enough for coming on the show and very grateful to have you on. And we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, Bill.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Fingerprints on Success podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe on your chosen platform that you are listening to us on. If this episode made you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot and share this episode with them, or post it on your social media to share with your friends. You can catch the show notes for this episode and any mentioned links in the description of this episode. Mandelbaum Barrett PC specializes in partnering with successful business owners and proven entrepreneurs on all of their legal matters. Visit www.mblawfirm.com for more information. Once again, it's www.mblawfirm.com. We'll see you on the next episode.